I'm Chris Lawrence, and this is the DNR Wildlife Resources Report. In past years, this would be the time when DNR biologists and volunteers would be out caving with a camera and a ruler trying to get a rough count of the bats in West Virginia. But that process has changed dramatically. I'll tell you more about it coming up in a moment. In West Virginia, wildlife is for everyone, and the West Virginia DNR works to keep it that way. Every year, West Virginia's Division of Natural Resources manages thousands of acres of public land and water, ensuring the future of our great natural resources in the Mountain State. Our state is a haven for all species of wildlife, game and non-game, and draws thousands each year to enjoy our rich outdoor heritage. When you buy a hunting or fishing license or take a stroll in our forest to view wildlife, you're enjoying what the DNR has made possible. The West Virginia DNR, working to ensure wildlife is for everyone. The Midwinter Bat Survey used to be a busy time for DNR biologist Craig Styler and his staff. Not so much anymore.
White nose syndrome showed up here in 2009 and has really changed the way we've been looking at bats in caves in the wintertime. Our first goal when white nose showed up was to try to figure out the distribution in the state and seeing what the impact was on bats. There was some hope that as white nose moved south, it may not have quite the devastation it did farther north, maybe because winters were not quite as long or not quite as severe. After a couple years of monitoring, we're seeing just as bad mortality here, with 90% plus of some of our species dying.
So the white nose syndrome, a fungus that appears to thrive in cold, damp environments, which is the environment bats hibernate, and their immune system declines, leaving them very vulnerable. What causes it isn't really known, but in the case of West Virginia, up to 90% of the common bats are dying off. Stoller says it may have been brought here from Europe.
It's probably both. I mean, it's looking more and more like it's a natural fungus, but it wasn't probably native to North America and was brought in some way. It's really going to be hard to ever find anything conclusive, but the evidence suggests that this fungus occurs in Europe, but it doesn't impact the bats the same way, and you know, it may have got transferred over here, and these bats have never been exposed to it. It's sort of like bringing smallpox over to the Native Americans. I mean, when you live with the disease for a while, you can sort of survive it, but when you've not been exposed, it's devastating.
And the hope is those bats that do survive will develop an immunity to repopulate the United States. A couple of encouraging signs. First, bats in the Northeast are showing at least some of that resilience and weathering it a little better after several years of exposure. And second, the bats previously considered endangered appear to be resilient.
It's really surprising. Our Virginia big-eared bats, which there's probably 20,000 in the world, the pretty rare species, seem to be doing okay. In all our surveys, the numbers of big ears are holding their own or increasing. This past summer, we have big-eared bats in summer colonies where they raise their young. We had our highest count ever this past winter, despite 3 years of white nose syndrome. So something's going on with these bats. It's something different. We don't know what it is, but you know, they seem to be weathering this better than our other species. Our most common bats are going to become very rare. Our big-eared bats are holding their own.
And for now, Styler says any solution is going to be a long-term one, and time is likely run out for the current bats in West Virginia. I'm Chris Lawrence, and that is the DNR Wildlife Resources Reports.